meet Sarah Joy D.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm an addict named Sarah Joy D. This is my first time doing this, so I'm going to rely on you guys to support me like I do everything else. Like Charlie said, there are a lot more people in here than I was anticipating. I was like, come on, it's the morning. Nobody gets up, right? Recovery is a process. That's a little heavy for the morning, right? No one's going to be there. You're all here. But I've been coming to this convention for 9 years, and it's so special to be able to be up here and share my experience, strength, and hope. I've always sat out there and been like, I can't wait until it's my turn, and now it's my turn, and I'm like, I don't want to do it. And that's really recovery for me. It's doing the things that I don't want to do because I don't know that I want to do them. It's crazy. So I did all of this planning for this because that's what I do, because I'm one of these people that has to keep thinking that it's a process, not an event. So I did all this planning. I talked to my sponsor, and I was like, well, you know, I can really talk about anything, right? She's like, no, well, yeah, but you should pretty much stick to the topic, so you better do some reading on the process. And I take suggestions, so, you know, I in complete addict style, took all the PDFs of the books we got and control-F'd the process through every single one of them. So that I could completely confuse myself and forget to, you know, distill my own truth, right? Because it's about me and my process, but I'll read about yours and then take yours on like a chameleon. Can I own your process right now? I got all like intellectual about it, and I was like, what the hell does this thing even mean? Recovery is a process, not an event. It took me like a couple of days to be like, oh yeah, it's a slogan. But then once they knew it was a slogan, I was like, well, what's a slogan? Because that's what happens to me when I'm like really close, when there's something I need to like get into for some reason, I have like no idea like what it is. Like I remember when I first came into recovery, I could not understand manipulation. I'm a smart person. I know what manipulation means. I'm an addict. I know what manipulation means, but I could not. I was like, I blanked on it. So I was like, okay, well, what is a slogan? A slogan is there to remind me of something. You know, what do I need to be reminded of? I need to be reminded that this is a slow a process of internal change, you know, that it's a gradual shift, that I may not see it every day. In fact, most of the time I don't see it, but that's why I got to come to meetings and be around you all so you can be like, hey, you are not the same person that walked in the door 8.5 years ago. I use like the rest of us, and my biggest consequence was I had terrible auditory hallucinations. Awful. Even after I stopped using drugs. So they would tell me like how to hold my tongue, when to blink, I mean, all kinds of shit. I was like, you know, running around out there without enough clothes on, with like 46 garbage bags, talking to myself, you know? And it's not like that today. That's why when I stand up here, I am so overwhelmed, because I'm like, man, you know, I was that person that was, you know, talking to themselves on the corner, and here I am. I have, like, you know, all these great, like, outward signs of manageability, but the inward signs of manageability are unbelievable. Like, I don't hear voices. You know, so when I was thinking about the process, I was thinking about what they told me in treatment, which was all I had to do was change everything. And I was like, that's cool. I understand extremes. Yeah. Black and white, I got it. And then I started thinking about it, and I was like, well, there's really not much from that old process that I would want to hold on to anyways.
Right.
You know, the that terrible getting and using and wanting more, hearing shit, being real lonely. I mean, that was the worst part. You know, it was all I wanted was to be loved and to be able to love others. You know, and I certainly couldn't do that at that point because I didn't love myself. And I was just completely driven by impulse. There was no direction to anything that I did. I mean, I was so animal. It was just survive. And that's what's crazy about today is that, like, sometimes I have to get out of that shift my thinking into, like, I'm not surviving, I'm living. And that's what this process has taught me how to do on a really basic level is live. You know, get up and go to work, clean my room, you know, trying to pick up the phone when somebody calls, help somebody else. It's just, it's endless, the amount of things that I do today that are just, I love it. I love recovery. Recovery saved my life. I do a lot of H&I. I've done a lot of H&I with Charlie. And whenever I go into a facility, I always say, and I knew I wanted to say that here, like, thank you so much for letting me come in to speak. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. This program saved my life, and I want to give back what was so freely given to me. So one of the other things that was pretty cool that I came across during my Control F experience was I think it was in the basic text. It basically said, like, recovery is a process, and I'm paraphrasing. I'm not one of these, you know, exact people on that kind of stuff. Is a process of awareness, surrender, and growth. And I love that. I absolutely love that. I had a lot of awareness when I was using. I mean, I knew I was a fucking addict. That was for sure. Did I have any surrender? No, not until I got here. I had to be really desperate. I mean, I had to literally be losing my mind. So the surrender and growth... I was thinking about which parts of the process for me I experienced that surrender and growth. And the first thing that stuck out to me was really the third step. I mean, in my third step experience, I wrote a lot, and I finished it. And then I was just, you know, standing around being like, okay, I'm done. But I had to have an experience, and for me that was a breakup because, you know, I was a relationship seeker. I'm sure there are none of those in here. So I was in a breakup. Mind you, this thing was only like a 3-month relationship, but I was devastated. Devastated, like curled up in the fetal position on the floor physically, like could not get up. Could not get up. I was in that much pain. Which was great because, you know, it helped me to really internalize the third step. You know, I was laying there on the floor feeling sorry for myself, and I had had enough of a second step at that point to be like, oh, wait a second, maybe this is not what God wants for me. Maybe, just maybe. Maybe I should get up and brush my teeth. That was the thought. And then I got up and brushed my teeth, and when I brushed my teeth, the thought came to me, well, maybe you should take a shower. And I was in the shower, and I was like, maybe you should go to work. You know, then you're going to work, maybe you should call somebody, you know. And then all of a sudden I realized, oh, that's the third step. It's very simple. It's very simple. And when I was thinking about, awareness, surrender, and growth, I thought about how thought about that process, and I thought about how I get what I need when I need it, you know, and not a second sooner, and not what I want all the time, which is great because I want a whole lot of shit I shouldn't have. But, like, even this morning when I woke up, I was like, oh, I feel a little better. Granted, I was sitting here and I just was completely overwhelmed. I started crying. People I know are walking in the door, and I'm like, oh, my God, I'm so overwhelmed. But this morning when I woke up, I was like, I feel better than I did yesterday about this. And it's like, of course you do. Because now you're going to do it. And that's the one of the things that has been so crucial to me in my process is that, like, I really don't have the strength necessarily to do what I need to do until I'm right about to do it. Which is, that's crazy. And I actually heard a woman speaking about that in a meeting. That woman's now my sponsor, you know, and I'm grateful for that. But that internal shift, again, when I was thinking about the internal shift, I thought, okay, where else did I really, really feel that besides the third step? And that was 6 and 7. And obviously I needed the third step to do 6 and 7 for sure. I mean, I went on, did 4 and 5. Everyone has this, I've heard people say I have, 4 and 5 were absolutely amazing for me, you know. I was doing my inventory, taking people hostage and doing my inventory with them when I was using for years. So that was no big deal for me. And sharing it with someone else, finally someone wanted to hear all my shit. And they had to. So that was great. Although, I had a sponsor. The way things work out, the way the process works out, is I had a sponsor that wouldn't let me read it all. I was so bummed out. Because I was, hoping we were going to do, a log cabin, 6-day affair, where I was just like, and then... No, it was like an hour at a public coffee shop. People are all around. I think the most important part was that we prayed and that I got to understand that, we're more alike than different. And that was really important. She had actually told me, my sponsor had told me, I had been writing on my 4-step for a long time because I was going to make that perfect because that was going to be a great event, as I've been talking about. So I wrote on that for 2 years. I totally do not recommend that. And finally, my sponsor was like, you are actually in your 6-step. That's why you can't stop writing. So you are officially pulled out of that. I was really scared of my 6-step because I had been going to a home group for a few years, and I'd heard all these horror stories about, the 6-step stories. This one guy was doing his 6-step, and he started wearing an ascot and changed his name. And I was like, oh my God, what's going to happen to me? I was like really, really afraid that I was actually going to do all the terrible things that I used to do when I came in. Because I was like, okay, this is where I run through all my defects and I get totally sick of myself. I was crazy when I came in. Just to give you an example, I thought about this last night. This is crazy. I had a girlfriend who I loaned a headband, and I had the same headband. Charlie was actually there for this. I had the same headband, and I said, okay, here's the headband. You can wear it, but only on the days when I am not wearing my headband. Okay, because we cannot look alike. That is my style, right? So I go into a meeting. I see her wearing that headband, and I kid you not, I walked in and ripped that shit off her head, okay, and put it in my purse and was like, no problem. Went into the, coffee tea room like nothing had happened. He looked at me and was like, I have nothing to do with you. I don't know what that was. So I was afraid, that I was going to wind up running away, getting married, and burning down some buildings when I started my 6-step. I was like really concerned about my process. But I had a 3rd step, and I had faith. So I did what I had to do. I felt everything that I learned about in my 4-step, which was really painful and really difficult, and I felt like this defective monster that was inflicting myself on people most of the time. And I felt it really physically, like deep down, like every day. I was like, how do I do this? But thank God I had the steps, the process of the steps, the 3rd step to just keep going. And I had a sponsor, so I would call her up. And finally she was like, We can't be talking 7 times a day every time you have a feeling, You're in your 6-step now. She's like, have you thought about meditating? It's not just an 11-step thing. And I thank God for that. I thank God for her, and I thank God for that suggestion, because if it wasn't for that, I have no idea how I would have gotten through that process. That was a huge internal shift that happened for me, and it was gradual, but it was unbelievable. So every time I was, like, again, physically crippled by my feelings, because, you know, even at 6 years clean, I was, just like when I did my third step, I was physically consumed by my feelings, you know. They were different, of course. It wasn't the same kind of drama, but it was still painful. So I would sit and meditate for 10 minutes, and I had to have a timer, because, you know, I had to be perfect, so I wanted to make sure I was right on the time, you know. So I would sit there on my little cushion. I had to buy a special cushion, you know, because, again, this is an event, right? I've arrived. I'm meditating. And I would sit down with the timer, and it was a really amazing thing, because my shoulders would drop, and I would feel really connected with God. And that was a huge internal shift for me. That is still where I go when things are so painful. I feel like I can't deal. So I don't know if you figured this out, but I'm the type of person that, like, whatever comes into my brain comes out of my mouth. And I've had to work really hard on that. My first sponsor was like, honesty without compassion is brutality, which is something I have to remember all the time. And that was where I started to see the seventh step working for me. That was another internal shift of part of the process that was just unbelievable. I remember being in my office, and at work, it's really where most of my defects come out. I can be all right with you guys in meetings, you know, I'm pretty spiritual then, maybe even for 5 minutes afterwards. For the most part at home, you know, sometimes, but work is where everything just comes out, and I am, like, the worst. So, especially because I just have coworkers that, like, you know, don't work at the speed I want them to be working at. They're not doing what I want them to do, right? And everybody works for me, and I am everybody's God, and I am in charge of everybody's process. So, it's very hard to work with other people. But I remember the seventh step working for me, because I was in an office listening to this guy run his mouth, and I was like, oh my God, you are such a fucking idiot. And what was awesome was that didn't come out of my mouth. Instead, I got this amazing pause. This amazing pause. And in that pause, I sought God. It was unbelievable. And my God was like, you should shut the fuck up. That is it. Just shut up. In fact, that's usually the message I get. Shut up. Shut up. Don't do anything and shut up. So I was like, man, this is the seventh step. For me, it's that pause, you know. Maybe I don't have to act on everything that I get. And, you know, I get that pause today. And, sometimes I seek God in that pause, and sometimes I don't. But I have a choice, you know. And that's what the seventh step did for me. And that was really an amazing part of my process, that internal shift. You know, I try really hard every day, and sometimes I feel like I'm making progress, and sometimes I don't. And that's the process too, you know. I mean, that's why I gotta keep doing what I'm doing. You know, and the process, more back to my, like, intellectual search on the process. The process is, you know, the steps, it's working with a sponsor, it's sharing with my network. An important thing that I learned very early on, it's been very helpful about my network, is that I gotta have 5 women in my life that I can call up, and when shit is fucked up, I don't have to give them a backstory. They already know what's going on with me. And that is so crucial. Because, you know, there's nothing like you're in a crisis and you got to call up and be like, okay, well, let me go back like 7 months. And with me, it's like, let me go back 7 months, then 3 months, then 2 months, then where are we now? So that's been really helpful with keeping a network of people, making sure I'm in tune with the traditions, and service has helped me so much with that. I have learned so much through service. Good Lord, when I first started doing service, I thought you all were my employees. I had to have my sponsor be like, these people do not work for you, okay? We are all volunteering and it's all about unity and love. And I was like, but they're not doing the shit that way that they're supposed to be doing it. So there is a lot that I have learned in my process of serving the fellowship. I'm so grateful to be here, and one of the reasons I was crying when I was sitting down is I just couldn't believe that I was clean when I was sitting here looking out at everybody. I couldn't believe that we have this fellowship. I mean, it's a fucking miracle that this exists. We all sit in a room, and we're totally different, and we all help each other, you know. I always like to say when I go into an institution that, like, man, the thing that's crazy about NA is that I don't have to fucking like you, but I love you, and I don't want you to go through what we all went through using. That was terrible, and it's the only thing, the only group, whatever organization that I know that's like that, where we are all working towards a common goal. We don't have to like each other, but we all want each other to do well. You know, that's amazing. You know, and I was so alone out there, and I had no idea that being a part of this fellowship, that a byproduct of that would be that I had people in my life. People that loved me, people that cared about me, people that wanted to see me do well and work with me through this. And it's been difficult because, you know, I really needed people to love me when I didn't love myself. It's been a process because, as you can tell, probably I can get a little feisty. I can be a little verbally abusive, believe it or not. But you guys all still loved me, which was really awesome. You know, I could fuck up in here and you guys would be like, keep coming back. More will be revealed. And that's really what this process has been for me, is doing the next right thing, putting one foot in front of the other, and doing those simple things like brushing my teeth and waiting for the next directive. You know, how much time do I have left? I think I'm done. Thank you so much for letting me be here.